I'm John Kroll. It is May in Indianapolis, and for more than a century, that has meant racing, a time when the cities, the states, this country, and the world's love affair with motorsports blossoms once again. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about women in motorsports. My guests are Kara Adams, Chief Engineer with Firestone, IUPUI Associate Dean Terry Talbert Hatch, and motorsports engineering student Lizzie Todd. Please join the conversation. You can call us at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. Well, it's May here in Indiana, and for as long as I've been alive, and quite a while before that, May in Indiana has meant primarily one thing, and that has been racing and motorsports. Today on No Limits, we're going to be talking about women in motorsports. In all sorts of ways, all sorts of facets. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Kara Adams. She is Chief Engineer with Firestone, IUPUI Associate Dean Terry Talbert Hatch, and motorsports engineering student Lizzie Todd. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. So one of the things that that has struck me about this, because I am a person of a certain vintage, is that in my lifetime, if we had been doing this show, it would have seemed really radical and revolutionary. Not all that long ago, the idea that women had any role out at the speedway if they hadn't bought a ticket seemed like, a particularly radical notion. So I think it's incumbent upon us to talk a little bit before we dive into some of the other specifics about how far we have come in that regard and maybe how far we still have to go. Kara, I'll start with you on that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look back to 1977 with Janet Guthrie being the first woman to qualify and race in the Indy 500, things used to be really different. I mean, women weren't even allowed in the paddock or the pit lane. So how far we've come is absolutely incredible. There have been plenty of female engineers that have worked in the series. When I started back in 2007, that was the only woman engineer that traveled with the series, but now we have so many. So we've come so far. We have such a great area for women in motorsports now. There's a lot of us. We actually have a great support network. As Lizzie can tell you, we actually meet once a year for a dinner for the women in motorsports and some of the motorsports students. So it's a great network.
Lizzie, I think that's your cue, actually. She teed you up there.
Yeah, it's been great, especially coming from college and just being welcome in. And we actually ended up having dinner last night. There were at least like 12 or 15 of us at dinner last night, and it's just great to have that network coming in. And they're really helpful, especially when you want to find internships or jobs or stuff like that.
And I'm going to ask Terry then to put this in a sort of larger kind of – how has this changed, affected in any way motorsports, the fact that women now are a much more significant part of it than they would have been, as I said, as Kara said, 40 years ago? I mean, that's not all that long ago.
Right, and I can add to a little bit of what Kara said. So this will be my 51st Indianapolis 500. Longtime fan, And when we first were able to even go into the garage area, there weren't women's restrooms. So, you know, we had to leave the garage area to
and
go
for
to
an
the...
event that goes on for like 5 hours, sometimes
right.
that can be an impediment.
Right. But, you know, I think from just engineering in general and motorsports engineering, we don't look at our females any different than any of the other students coming. I think opportunities for females are as abundant as they are for anyone. And I think a lot of the race teams and other motorsports affiliates that we work with like the idea of having some diversity with a female available because we look at things a little bit differently. We have a little bit different perspective about how we look at things. We're great project managers, and I think the rest of the world is starting to figure that out too.
I'm going to stay with you for a second on this, Terry. How much of this is also that racing finally woke up to the fact that there's an awful lot of money to be made if women are included? I mean, it's not been all that long ago that, in the interest of full disclosure, I was for a long time on the board of the Indianapolis Press Club Foundation, which holds an event every year that happens to be tonight, called the Last Row Party. And I remember at one of those, probably about a decade ago, Danica Patrick did a drop-by. In that world, in that culture, it was like Elvis and the Beatles had decided to get together and do a concert on the spot. Because suddenly, you know, the tent that they had it in at that time, which had been pretty full before, was, Fire Marshal's worst nightmare. Among other things, that showed, okay, there is a hunger here. Women want to see other women involved and that they're willing to devote, you know, their attention and, more to the point, their money to seeing that happen. So how much of this was simply economics?
Well, probably a lot of it, because women make a lot of the household decisions when it comes to what washer and dryer, what dishwasher, even what automobile the family's going to purchase. So, and those are some of the companies and industries that, you know, we look to provide sponsorships. So when you've got a woman decision maker, you know, we want to see individuals that look like us out competing and doing the same things. So I'm guessing it was probably maybe not the impetus, but it definitely was a factor in continuing to accept women.
Kara, talk to me a little bit about your journey. I mean, obviously you were a pioneer of sorts. How difficult was it for you to, you know, to crack the glass ceiling or the glass barricade, as it were?
Well, so there's a lot of things that you can say, both positive and negative in it. When I started, the management team that was in place in Firestone Racing didn't have any kind of preconceived notions about the fact that I was female or not female. When I was looking to get a job in racing, I made sure I was the best candidate. So I would go into that interview and they would have no choice to hire me. And it wasn't going to have anything to do with whether I was female or not. And the people at Firestone, people at Bridgestone are very basically gender blind. They don't see a female in the role or they don't see a male in the role. What I may have had to do when I started in IndyCar is to some of the teams just show maybe a little bit extra that I belonged there. So when I started talking to the teams about engine setups and the fact that I had built engines of my own, once they started to understand that I had the background in racing, really nowadays people respect results. So if you can engineer a car to go fast, or if you can engineer the best set of tires that are going to be durable and dependable and something the drivers can count on, it doesn't matter what you look like or what gender you are. That being said, you still have some instances where you have a you've got to be kidding me moment, but by and large, 98% of the time, it doesn't matter what gender you are.
What was the worst "you've got to be kidding me" moment you had to
deal with? Let's see. I've had quite a few over the years, but there's anywhere from somebody being really surprised I knew what a wicker was to somebody actually patting me on the head thinking everything was going to be okay when I was trying to tell them what they needed to do about the tire. So it's been all levels. It's been all kinds of instances. But I think for every disadvantage, though, there's also an advantage. We were talking about the female buyer, the female person that decides what tires to put on their car. When I started, I wasn't just the Firestone guy. I wasn't just that guy who told me to put something, do something different with the tires. People learned really quickly what my name was, and they also learned quickly that I was an engineer and that they could code to me to ask me things. I wasn't just a regular tire technician. So they learned my name, and I think that was really helpful in that they knew to go back to me with questions. So for every disadvantage, there's probably an advantage as well.
I'm guessing it probably was a pretty good thing that you weren't holding a wrench in your hand when that guy patted you on the head.
There have been a few moments, John.
I don't doubt it. So, Lizzie, let me ask, this is a world you aspire to enter into.
Yes.
Do you run into resistance or any sort of, sexist inertia, for lack of a better term?
Not really in the classroom. I've always hung out with guys. Guys are always been my best friends. But it does get a little odd when you walk into a classroom and you sit down and you're like, well, this class has 20 kids in it and I'm the only girl. So that kind of can throw you off a little bit. But like Kara said, it's just about really being the best engineer that you can be. And I don't want to be hired at a company because I'm a girl. I want to be hired at a company because I'm a good engineer and they know that. I find it funny when I walk into class and someone says something or makes a remark and then they look at me and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you're a girl. And I'm like, it really doesn't bother me if you say that. I'm used to it. I work with guys all the time.
What are the, do you have moments, what Kara calls the you've got to be kidding me moments?
I haven't really had them yet. I will say I had last year. I was fortunate enough to intern with the IndyCar series, so I got to travel with them and I worked tech inspection. And sometimes when I was on pit lane, the guys would come by and be like, hey, just smile more. And I was like, really?
Are you walking around telling
really?
The guys that?
Yeah,
that you need to smile more.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do when somebody said that? Do you just chew through your tongue? And
normally I would just brush it off or just ignore it because it wasn't worth trying to say anything back to them.
So, Terry, talk to me a little bit about how many women now are pursuing careers in motorsports.
Well, with our motorsports engineering degree at IUPUI, we've had 8 female graduates. Amanda Lund, who Kara, I know, knows well, is with Andretti Autosports. We've got a graduate with Penske South on the NASCAR side. We've got graduates with Wayne Taylor Racing. The rest are all in the automotive industry. Currently, we have 4 females in the program, and we average about 100 students any given year. So that's not a large percentage. But what happens, we have more females that are pursuing degrees in journalism and sports marketing that have a real interest in motorsports, too.
So out of that, you say you've got 8 graduates. How long a period over?
The degree program started in August of 2008.
Okay, so in about 10 years.
Yeah, and we've had a total of, I think, around 80, 85 graduates so far.
Oh, okay. So there,
right.
It's not just been the 8 that you're talking about.
Right.
There are
total
80 to 85.
85, but 8 have been females.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay, so that works out to about
10%. Right. Right.
And right now you've got about 4 out of the 100
right.
students who are participating. Do you actively try to recruit women to pursue this line of study?
Well, motorsports engineering is a program we don't actively have to recruit for. They come to us. But we do an annual event every fall called Motorsports Day. And last fall, we really had an emphasis on females. So Leah Pritchett from NHRA was there, and Pippa Mann from the IndyCar series was there. So we promote events like that. But I met Lizzie when she was maybe 14, when she approached us, or she sent an email, and then we met at a Sarah Fisher party. And generally, they come to us. So, but I always encourage them, definitely.
We are talking about women in motorsports, their growing presence, how that the opportunities that are there for them, also the challenges, and you know, the ways that this has opened up a sport that's loved by millions of people around the world. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Kara Adams. She is chief engineer with Firestone, IUPUI associate dean Terry Talbert Hatch, and motorsports engineering student Lizzie Todd. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about women in motorsports because it is, of course, May in Indianapolis. And Indianapolis, for as long as I can remember, that has meant racing and motorsports. My guests are Kara Adams. She is chief engineer with Firestone, IUPUI associate dean Terry Talbert Hatch, and motorsports engineering student Lizzie Todd. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So, Lizzie, I'm going to start with you. Talk with me a little bit about the path that led you to deciding this is the career you wanted to pursue.
Yeah, definitely. So my dad's originally from Indiana. I'm actually from Colorado. So I went to my first Indy 500 when I was 8 years old. And it was, I walked under the tunnel in turn three, and we were late for carb day. And I turned around, and the white light went green for practice, and I saw a car go from 60 to 220 in like 3 seconds, and I was like, okay, I know what I want to do for the rest of my life. So after that, we went to the Indy 500 every year after that, and I just started loving it more and more. And I think I asked my dad for a go-kart when I was like 10, and he was like, no, that's not going to happen. And I was like, darn. But
when did you get the go-kart?
I didn't.
Ever?
Ever.
It's a source of resentment to this day.
Oh, yes. But one day I think I was in either the 7th grade or the 8th grade, I was on the computer, and I was on IndyCar.com because it was my favorite website, and they were talking about this Dallara simulator that was put together in part with IUPUI Motorsports, and I was like, what the heck is IUPUI and what the heck is motorsports? And so a little Googling later, and I found Terry, and I met her, and she took me under her wing. And so there's a female engineering camp put on every year at IUPUI. It's called Power Camp. It stands for Preparing Outstanding Women for Engineering Roles. It's a week-long summer camp, and I went to that for 4 years in high school. I loved it. I loved learning what engineering did. I found out engineering's really just problem-solving and puzzles, and I love puzzles. And so motorsports and engineering just made sense, and so I applied to the program and got in, and hopefully my ultimate goal is to be a race engineer on an IndyCar team and call strategy. I think that'd be really cool.
So, Terry, talk to me a little bit about the educational opportunities we have for young women such as Lizzie. I mean, I'm admittedly of a different vintage than Lizzie is, but I remember... you know, I'm a product of an era when you were in high school, it was just automatic. The boys were routed to shop class, and the girls were routed to home economics,
right.
And all of that. And it never, you know, there never seemed to be a way to say, well, you know, either for a young woman to say, I'd really rather to learn how to work with tools, or the guys to say, you know, I might have to cook for myself someday. I probably ought to learn that. So Have we made progress along those lines?
We've made a lot of progress, especially in engineering. I think a lot of it starts in K through 12. There's a Project Lead the Way, which takes engineering down into even grade school, so hands-on opportunities to learn about engineering. So young females have the opportunity to get introduced to engineering at a younger age, because in the past, if you didn't know someone who was an engineer, you wouldn't even think about pursuing that, especially as a female. And then, you know, Lizzie mentioned our power camp. So we make a lot of effort to recruit female students. And I can tell you from 2012 up until 2017, we increased the female students who attended IUPUI to study engineering by close to 50%. Still not where we want to be. We're at about 21% females in our programs. But it's definitely come a long way. And I think females, while there's still low numbers in the classes, we're doing some efforts to make them feel a little more comfortable. We do an all-female orientation day so that we try to place females in some of the same classes. We started a women's peer mentoring program with our upper-level students 3 years ago, and I think that really helps. We have our Society of Women Engineers that's active. We have a Women's Engineering Network. We have an all-female go-kart team that competes at the Purdue Grand Prix, and we're the highest finishing all-female team in history. And this current year, we finished eighth. Last year, we finished second. So we're doing the same things that some of the men, at my age, I still call them boys, in the program do. And we just, you know, we interact with them, but we like to sometimes do our own thing, too. We like to show them up, I have to say that.
Kara, as someone who is where Lizzie aspires to be, you've got a slightly different vantage point. What are some of the things that could be done, whether it's on the part of the industry or part of the educational institutions, to make it easier for careers such as yours to take off for young women?
Well, I think, like Carrie said, a lot of this starts at K through 12. You have to get kids interested in science and engineering, and in our case, racing, pretty early. One of the really neat things, probably my favorite thing about my job, is the platform I have to talk about science and engineering to young kids. I was really lucky growing up to have a mom as a science teacher and a grandfather who was an engineer on the launch team for NASA and the Apollo space shuttle missions. So I was exposed to science early, and I had a passion for it. But now, as women in the industry, I feel we have a responsibility to pay it forward, to let people know how cool science is and how cool motorsports is and how they can see themselves in these roles. I had a young lady come up to me. She was a junior in high school. This is many years ago, maybe back in 2007 or 2008. And she was telling me she was really interested in racing and engineering. And I've kept in touch with her over the years, all the way through school, mechanical engineering school, and now she's an engineer at Harley-Davidson. So to being able to talk to high school kids, to young girls who are really excited about science and engineering, was at St. Pete last year in Long Beach. And I had a young girl come up to me and say she wanted my autograph, which I thought was really funny. I said, you do realize that I am not a driver, but it was, she came there to meet me, which was great. So to be able to have mentors and role models for kids that are looking at engineering or students that are looking at engineering is just phenomenal. And it's not just in engineering. There's a lot of different roles in racing that women traditionally weren't involved in, that now you see more women in. Our director of motorsports, Lisa Boggs, is female. She was hired because she was absolutely the best person for that role. So it's getting there. We're getting to have more kids interested in racing and motorsports. So I think we're on a positive slope for sure.
Take me inside those conversations, if you would, when someone such as Lizzie or other young women come to you and they ask, how do I go about getting to where you are, or where I want to go? What do you tell them?
Okay, so you talk to any woman in motorsports, Kate from Ganassi or Amanda, IUPUI graduate, and Andretti. We love having these conversations, and we love to be able to share our knowledge. So one of the things that I tell them is to be persistent. When I wanted to go into racing, I was told that racing is really hard. It's hard to get into racing. There are very few spots. You might not actually be able to do this. But my advice to everybody is just to be persistent. This was something that I was told maybe I couldn't do, but I went out and I learned. When I hired into Bridgestone Firestone, I knew they had a great racing program, but you can't just hire into racing for most people. So I started out in our vehicle dynamics group, and I went up to the manager and I said, I would love to work for Race Tire Development someday. What kind of skills or traits does your ideal engineer have? And he said nobody had ever asked him that, and he didn't really know what to tell me. But he said if I wanted to come back in a couple of days, he'd talk to the engineering team and see. And he talked to a few people, and they said, oh, we really need somebody that can understand programming. We know what somebody that can understand vehicle dynamics and then force moment behavior of tires. And I said, all right, well, I will learn that. So I went out and I bought textbooks and I studied and I talked to people that were in the group. So my advice to young kids is just be persistent. If you have to be annoying, do what you need to do to be able to make yourself ready for those roles. And one of the best things that you could do is go out and reach out to experts in the field. If you want to go into communications, talk to somebody who's in communication, same thing with engineering or team roles. That's probably the best thing that you can do is ask an expert what you need to do, and then just have the persistence to follow up with that.
We are talking about women in motorsports on No Limits today. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Another way to reach us, though, is through email, and our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. We've got an email from a listener who asked that the name be withheld. This listener writes, regarding the statement that IUPUI doesn't need to actively recruit for the motorsports engineering program, just because the program can fill seats with 96 out of 100 men doesn't mean the program isn't obligated to actively pursue female minority and underrepresented students into the program. For example, partnering with Indiana Robotics and STEM high school programs, inviting Indy Shortridge or Arsenal students to preview the program, etc. You've got a great program, and it can only get better as new ideas and demographics enter the doors. I'll give you a chance to respond right to that one, Terry.
And we do all that. The question about specifically, so we are involved in FIRST Robotics and VEX Robotics from grade school all the way up. We have summer programs for all underrepresented students, and we promote the motorsports program. But with a limited budget as far as recruitment of students, we try to combine everything that we do. So while I said we don't specifically recruit for motorsports, we recruit for all of our engineering programs, and we love robotics. We are the only Purdue school in the state that offers scholarships to robotics. We were just up at First Worlds, and we love our robotics students. We love we have a lot of outreach with IPS and Arsenal Tech. So I think maybe I was looking at the question a little with blinders on, but we are out there and we're recruiting. And we talk about all of our programs with the populations that the listener mentioned.
Kara, I want to pick up on the second part of that question with you, which is that by bringing new and underserved populations into the sport and the industry, it also will bring new ideas, new innovations. Are there ways that you can see that having more women involved in motorsports has changed either the sport or the culture surrounding it?
Yeah, I absolutely feel it has. And one of the things when we were looking for our newest engineer that we hired in my group, it was really great to have two equal candidates. And we hired a young lady to fill the street course tire engineer role. And there's, like Terry had said before, sometimes you get a lot of different perspectives when you're looking at a problem. If you have both ethnic and gender diversity on your team, I think it adds a lot to the decisions. You just bring different backgrounds. So diversities in education levels, diversities in very many things. I think it's just going to enrich a team. So absolutely, that's something that we look for, to have a diverse team. And I think it's something that serves motorsports well, not just in how everything is performed, but how we move forward as IndyCar, as a racing organization together, to have more people be able to see themselves in a racing role.
Lizzie, are there instances you can see, you know, you're studying with these guys all the time right now, where not to put too fine a point on it, but engineering is really the art of solving problems, right?
Yeah.
Are there ways that you approach that problem-solving task differently than the guys who are around you?
I can see that, because a lot of the guys I work with, especially when we get a homework assignment, they just jump, especially in like our programming class, they'll just like jump right into it and start typing away. And most of the time I don't jump on the computer. That's not my first reaction. It's actually, I just sit with the assignment and look at the assignment and really think about what the question's being asked. And a lot of my friends actually find that they'll be halfway through the program and they'll realize they'll did something wrong. And I'm like, guys, like, it was right here on the assignment. And so I find it funny that sometimes they tend to jump before they think.
Terry, do you see differences?
I see our females as great program managers or project managers. I see them and working on some of our capstone or senior design projects. They do a really good job at looking at the big picture. Like Lizzie said, you know, look at the big picture and all the components before jumping right into it. And so I hear that a lot from our students, that they really like having a female on their team to kind of take the lead and make sure everyone does what they're supposed to do, too.
We are talking about women in motorsports here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at NoLimits@WFYI.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what a listener named Gila has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Gila, did I get your name right?
Yes, you did.
Oh. Well, that's my lucky day then. What's on your mind?
Well, I actually work part-time for the National Hot Rod Association as a member of their safety team. The safety safari. And one of the programs that the National Hot Rod Association has, which I think really has influenced the number of women who are now competing in drag racing, is their youth program, where they've got kids all the way down to age 5 now who get introduced to racing. And through that, then a number of those young ladies are going on to engineering careers and are enjoying competition as well as getting their science degrees and moving on to careers that reflect very much what the ladies have been talking about.
Well, thank you very much for calling and sharing that information with us, Gila. We appreciate it. So a lot of this, one of the themes that we keep coming back to here is that much of it is about communicating to young girls, from what Gila says, all the way down to age 5, that this is a possibility, that these careers are out there. And so far, the industry is doing an awful lot of that. Terry, I'm going to ask you, are there things that the educational system, and I'm not focusing exclusively on the university system, because there's a lot of education that takes place long before they get to you, could do to better foster that sense of possibility?
That's a fantastic question. And one of the things, I'm from Akron, Ohio, so I do a lot with the Akron public school system. My mom was a teacher, so she instilled the importance of talking to kids. Having the ability to go in and talk to high school students, something like a Project Lead the Way, they have the ability to have speakers come in. But with the curriculum being so tight to whatever testing standards they have to get to, sometimes it's difficult to have people in and talk to students about careers. So some places are doing it, but to have more people as role models come in and just talk to students, I think is a phenomenal way that our public schools can serve these kids by showing them some of their possible futures.
We are talking about women in motorsports on No Limits today. My guests are Kara Adams, Chief Engineer with Firestone, IUPUI Associate Dean Terry Talbert Hatch, and Motorsports Engineering student Lizzie Todd. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. It's May here in Indianapolis. That means, for as long as I can remember, and for the better part, for more than a century, that means racing and motorsports, because this is when we become the center of the racing and motorsports universe. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Kara Adams. She is chief engineer with Firestone. And we have got IUPUI Associate Dean Terry Talbert Hatch and motorsports engineering student Lizzie Todd. So, Terry, before we went to the break, I wanted to ask that question about really about what we could do, you know, through the public schools and really through our infrastructure to encourage more young women to pursue career paths similar to the one that Lizzie is pursuing right now, how we go about making that happen, what things might help.
Well, I think one of the words you said is encouragement, and that's a big key. So, and exposure and engagement. So I guess it's the three E's, right? So the younger students are, that you can expose them to the opportunities and provide the encouragement to them, I think it's really important. Make sure that everyone takes, you know, all young ladies take their math and science courses and encourage them that, you know, they can be successful. We have, through our Society of Women Engineers student organization, we have an event called Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day that we have once a year on a Saturday. And those are fifth and sixth grade girls that come to campus. And they interact with our female engineering students, which I think makes a huge difference. The Power Camp that we talked about earlier, again, that camp is totally run the week with our engineering students, and then we bring in professional female engineers from several different companies in Indianapolis and around the state to interact with those young ladies from that we attract from all over the United States, actually. I think one thing that we hear from parents, we have another event that we do, it's called Wow, That's Engineering, and that's for middle school girls. They say that when their daughters are in grade school, there's no problem getting them interested in math and science and to do Legos and do all that. But then it seems when they get to middle school, they come home and they feel that math and science isn't cool anymore. So I'm not sure where that transition is or why it happens. But I think the school systems and the teachers and the counselors in the schools can need to work really hard to make sure that young ladies still continue to know that math and science is something that you can do anything with in the future. I mean, anyone, when they go to college and have an engineering degree, they can do anything with that. You know, a lot of presidents of companies now have engineering degrees. So just to help them understand that there's so much you can do with it, and just by taking the classes, it just opens so many doors for you.
So we've got actually a resident expert on going through that kind of curriculum in the studio with us, in Lizzie. Maybe you can, I mean, when you were in middle school, was being a young woman and being fascinated with math and science and technology cool, or did you feel that kind of pushed you to the outs and made you a little bit of an outsider?
Yeah, it was definitely a little odd because my education growing up was a little non-traditional. I actually went to a dual language school growing up, so I was immersed in English as well as Spanish. So my love for math really came early because I had to learn English and then I also had to learn Spanish, but math is the same in every language. Numbers are numbers. Numbers don't change. So I really excelled in math, and I always loved technology class and going to computers. And what I found it being really awkward was when in middle school, wood shop was offered. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool to take. So me and my best friend decided to take wood shop, and we were the only two girls in the class. And she looked at me and she was like, no. Never again are we taking this class. Like, we can't be, like, the weird girls, the odd ones out. And so she went and pursued the home ec, kind of stereotypical what girls do. And our shop class wasn't offered anymore, but I ended up still taking computers and technology because I was just fascinated by our technology class wasn't just computers, but it was, we built airplanes in it, we built robots, and I was just fascinated in how all this stuff worked, and my love for engines really came early on in middle school.
So let me add, because this fascinates me, and if any of these questions get too intrusive, I really hope that you will tell me so. But, you know, it sounds like the subtext I'm picking up here is that you kind of had to go it alone. For a good part of your, you know, secondary educational career, maybe even middle school, and to some degree primary, was any of that lonely?
Yeah, I did feel like an outsider some of the times, but like I mentioned before, I was. Definitely, I never had problems getting along with guys. Mm-hmm. I was always had my guy friends. My mom always joked because it was Lizzie and the boys. And that definitely did lead to a lot of bullying and kind of just mean words coming from the other girls because they just didn't understand that I just enjoyed hanging out with boys more. But it definitely made the transition into the motorsports a lot easier. Kind of bringing back to the are you kidding me statements that Kara brought up. Mm-hmm. I actually remember when that happened, my very first day of college, when I walked into my introduction to motorsports class. My friend Abby was already in the room, so I was the second girl in the room, and I walked through the doors, and I hear one of the boys in the back of the room pipe up, oh, there's one. And I was just like, I just sat down, and I was like, I don't even know how to respond to this right now.
There is a sense, and I should say, I'm sorry you had to experience a lot of that, and it also kind of raises another line of question that I ought to add. You know, you have said several times that you've always figured out ways to get along with guys and that you work at getting along with the guys and all of that. But you're only half of that equation. How much do the guys work at getting along with you?
I would think, oh, that's hard. I don't know. I guess part of me wants to say, I guess you're going to have to ask them because I don't know, but.
Well, I guess where I can go though, yes, ultimately they're the ones who have to speak and take responsibility for their own actions. But do you feel like they put the effort into getting along with you that you put into getting along with them?
Definitely. The guys I've met in the program have all been amazing, and they all invite me to go places with them. And I turned 20 just a few weeks ago, and one of my
shoes that are older than you are, but that's okay.
One of my guy friends, Andrew, was like, well, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, I don't really care. Like, we can do whatever. And he was like, okay, well, I'm going to figure this out. We're going to have a great night. And he did all the work for my birthday. And it was one of the best nights I've ever had. We had so much fun. We went to Topgolf. And so they definitely, like, put in the effort to be my friend. And they don't really... I haven't really experienced a guy yet that has walked up to me and just been, oh, it's because you're a girl. And so that's been awesome.
Still, Terry, you can't listen to it without feeling that there is some sense of isolation there, too. And I'm presuming you would know better than I would, because you've seen her in the classroom, that Lizzie is a promising student, one that we want to see going into the field and having success. So are there steps that we can take, not just, you know, at the primary, but at the university level, and also once she's gone into the field, to make someone like Lizzie feel a little less isolated?
I have to mention one funny story, or interesting story first. We had a panel discussion with some of our business professionals maybe 2 years ago, and we had a panel of female and male students. And one of the female students said, she wasn't motorsports, but she was in engineering, "I know that I'm never going to be the first one selected to be on a team. I know that many of the boys in the room won't want to study with me. I know all these things, but it doesn't make it easier." And one of our male students, he just looked at her. I mean, I could see the look on his face, and he was just like, "I had no idea. I just never thought about this. So anytime you're in a class with me, that will never happen again." So I think a lot of it, at least, you know, what I see, they just don't think about it. They have their friend group. They have, you know, people they hang out with, and they just don't really think about it. I think some of the things that we've done in other universities where we have the peer mentoring program, where we try to get all the females together so they have someone that they can discuss issues that they might have or concerns. Our student services office has an open door policy. And I think, especially in our motorsports program, Andy Borm, who's the program director who has a history in motorsports, I mean, he really works hard to help encourage the female students too. So I don't see any bias at all, at least from the faculty level. And I think even with our motorsports program, more than some of our other programs, they all get along. They all work together. It's a smaller program. They all want everyone to be successful, no matter if they're male or female or the color of their skin. So I see that happening a lot more, which is surprising, knowing that motorsports is such a competitive program and such a competitive sport. But I really see males and females working alongside each other very well.
So, Lizzie, you told a story about how you came to the Speedway for the first time when you were how old again?
I was eight.
8 years old. And, you know, we're just overwhelmed by the spectacle of it. I'm seeing a car go from 60 to 220 and like that. And, you know, it's an impressive place. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's like an open-air cathedral. It's really designed to be overwhelming. Now that you see the sport at some level from the inside, has that changed the way you look at racing? Does it become less about the spectacle, and now, you know, doing the calculations and figuring out, oh, I bet I could figure out a way to make that car go, you know, 2 miles an hour faster, and at that level, that's an awful lot.
Yeah, it's definitely different making the transition from the fan side to the working side. It's funny because I'm doing an internship right now currently with Juncos Racing. I'm on their Pro Mazda cars, and right now for the three cars we have, there are 9 people for all 3 cars, and one of my friends is on that team with me, and he looked at me and he was like, "So you want to work in racing?" And I was like, "I'm pretty sure." And he was like, "Well, we'll see about that." And my second day in the internship, we were at the track till 2:30 in the morning, repairing failures on all our cars. And they all came up to me afterwards and was like, "Are you sure you still want to do this?" And I was like, "Guys, you won't believe it, but I actually had so much fun. It's the coolest thing in the world. Putting a car together after it's crashed or something's failed, and then putting it out on the track the next day and watching it run, it's amazing knowing that you helped and you did something, and it's more special. The Speedway now, coming from a work side, just means so much more to me, and the Indy 500 is just so much more special to me that I've worked it than I could have ever experienced, I feel like, as a fan.
Was it, in that, are you still able to step back and be a fan, or is going to the track now, like kind of going to work, is it a busman's holiday, as it were?
It's definitely work. It's fun work, though. I never wake up in the morning and I'm like, ugh, I have to go to work today. It's definitely like, yes, I get to go to work today. I get to go play with race cars. That's what I call it. I call it playing with race cars. And I have so much fun with it. And I think maybe, 60 years down the line, if I'm still in it, I'll probably step back and be like, okay, I've done enough. I'm okay with just watching now, but as of right now, it's not work, it's play.
What's the coolest part?
Oh gosh, the coolest part last year was definitely sitting on pit lane or during the grid of the Indy 500 and just watching everyone around you, because it's definitely, it's an odd feeling being out there and you just hear everything around you and you're just surrounded by all these people, and it's the largest single day sporting event in the world, and you see it and it's crazy.
Is that a common source of the appeal for not just young women but young people to go into the sport, is they want to be surrounded by something that large?
I think it's a little bit of that, and then also just the passion for automobiles. A lot of students choose our program, not necessarily for racing, but because they really want to be in the high-performance automotive industry. So trying to make something better, something faster, that's what really motivates a lot of our students.
Lizzie, do you have your own car?
Yes, I do.
Do you tinker with it all the time?
Yeah.
You do? What do you do to it?
Well, I mostly try and keep it running.
It's not a new car.
It's not a new car at all. It shake, rattles, and rolls its way around Indianapolis. But I actually work on a Miata that our program runs in F production for SCCA that got second place at National Runoffs this past year. And so getting to play with that is a lot of fun.
So I'm going to ask each of you, what are you going to be doing on race day? I'll start with Lizzie.
I will actually be watching from the stands. My series doesn't run the Indy 500, but I'll be rooting for Yunkos Racing.
Okay.
And I'll be setting at my 51st Indianapolis 500, cheering for Ed Carpenter Racing, where my husband still works part time.
Oh, so you've got a little bit of a vested interest here.
Yes. Then.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you for what's been a lively conversation about racing, and also increasingly about the fact that we seem to be making at least some progress in making this a much more inclusive society. I would like to thank my guests, Kara Adams, Chief Engineer with Firestone, IUPUI Associate Dean Terry Talbert-Hatch, and Motorsports Engineering student Lizzie Todd, for this lively conversation. As always, I want to thank our listeners for some great questions and comments. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.